This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dara here. I'm just going to be the best person you're going to run into today. I spent half an hour this morning guiding lost Alabamians out of the Skyway system to their various directions. No one more lost than a person from Alabama trying to find the convention center in the middle of a lightless skyway in the downtown Minneapolis. So happy Final Four weekend, everyone. I will be returning to the skyways after this to guide you all personally to your destination. Got to roll out the welcome mat in Minneapolis. So we have a little bit of a shorter show today. We got a shorter show because we're picking up a Twins game after this. And so, you know, just rush to your text. What are you cooking? What are you drinking? It's a beer show. Okay. I was doing a little poking around the internet this week in preparation of having Nico Tonks on the show. So Nico, you've heard him before. He is the head brewer at Fair State, one of the big beer thinkers in town, does beautiful stuff. I love Fair State. Love going to the tap room. Love picking the stuff up. But then suddenly, they're making something called hard water. Now, if you have been going to parties low the last couple of years, you've seen this stuff called White Claw. It's like seltzer that has alcohol in it, and they've kind of like skirted around the whole vodka soda issue and made something that's very like 100 calorie pack. So you enjoy your 100 calorie packs of Doritos, you're going to love your 100 calorie pack of booze, right? That's the logic behind White Claw. And I had my first one around Christmas time. I was at someone's house, and I'm terrible, but, you know, the other stuff ran out. So I tried one of those, and it was fine. It was a bit of a novel experience, and I was very surprised, really actually, like, legit surprised when Fair State came out with a hard water themselves, because it's like, why is this very wonderful brewery that knows everything about brewing and do sour beers and this, that, and the other thing. And they do this fancy, lovely mixed culture festival in the summer where elite brewers from around the country come. Like, why are they dabbling in this world that's a little closer to the Bud Light Garita or whatever you call it? You know what I mean, those Bud Lights with a watermelon margarita, a Jolly Ranchers inside or something. Why are they dabbling in that world when they already rule the fancy world? Well, okay, so backing up, I was looking around the internet and I found this thing. It was like the most popular beer cocktail, the most popular drink in Minnesota is the Minnesota Martini, which is basically grain belt with four olives in it. I was like, what? That's the most popular? I've been drinking in this town for a long time. I'm professionally drinking in this town. For a long time, I've never seen this. I put it out on Twitter, and it was like living in the Twilight Zone. Half of the people were like, I too have never heard of this olives and beer. This is nonsense. There's no such thing as a Minnesota martini that is olives and beer. And the other half of the people were like, oh, yeah, we do this all the time. We've been doing this whole lives for 20 years, for 40 years. My mom does this. My aunt does this. Everyone does it. It's like I've never seen anything where it's just like some people live in a world with beer and olives, and other people live in a world with no beer and olives, and we're all living in the same city. So you can certainly, 81807, text me this whole thing, like, what have you experienced? When did you first see it? When did you talk to your children about beer and olives? You know, all this, I'll take all this, 81807. But for the rest of this day, this lovely show, we are going to talk to Nico about this whole fancy beer situation. So if you're curious as to what's going on, why brewers are kind of creeping out of their lane, text us, 81807. All right, so Nico, thank you for coming in today. I'm so curious about this whole process of thinking. Why did you want to make this hard seltzer type non-beer called Hard Water. Why?
Well, I think that that's a very good question for starters, and I don't know if there's an elevator pitch answer to it, but you know, I think you'd be surprised by the amount of beer industry people that drink a whole bunch of hard seltzers.
See, this shocked me. You told me this in the green room, and like my jaw dropped. So you said if you go to Grumpy's, which is a place in Northeast where a lot of people hang out, it's very small, so don't try to hang out there, or do if you can kind of wedge yourself in. But you said that you go to Grumpy's, that half of the brewing industry people will be drinking a White Claw.
I mean, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's not that far off. Yeah, a lot of people are doing it, and I think it's part and parcel of the same thing that I've said for a long time. Which is, I think the longer you stay in the beer industry, the more likely you are to only drink pale lager beer. And I think
pale lager beer, that's like the American classic. You're going things that then
macro
Budweiser
lagers
were like based on, right? So
yeah,
just
or
something
literally
crisp,
Budweiser.
Or literally Budweiser.
I don't want to say that, you know, the hard seltzer realm is just off the end of light lager, but I think that it's going towards the same place, which is that at the end of the day, you know, craft beer is kind of crazy right now. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. People making very, very over-the-top, intense beers with millions of adjunct ingredients. And at the end of the day, if you're around it all day and you're making beer and it's what you're doing, you kind of want something simple at the end of it.
Well, that I certainly understand. And I will say I have been at the breweries and you get these like milkshake beers and you can't see through them and they have apricots and, you know, all of this stuff. So they're very intense. I mean, anybody knows you can't have six milkshakes. You have one milkshake. Oh, I mean, I'm not talking about the milkshake beers.
There.
Like you can't have one, you know, you go, you sit and they blend up some malt powder and ice cream. Like you get one of those. You get exhausted. You get full. Like one DQ Blizzard is great. Nobody wants six DQ Blizzards, right? It's just too much.
Well, I mean, yeah, craft beer right now, I think the ethos is more is more. So there probably are people that would say that six milkshakes is maybe not as good as eight milkshakes, but you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's very American.
I applaud them.
Yeah.
Yeah. USA, all over the
go
place.
Go to 11, yeah. Turn up our Spinal Tap.
So I am very much pale lager drinker guy. That's the beer that I care about, and that's the beer that I like to drink. I am not a huge hard seltzer drinker guy, but I hang around a lot of them, and it kind of gave me the idea that, you know, maybe we should try this. You know, maybe we should try it just for the technical challenge, but then also because it's a thing that people are doing, and like let's see what it's about. And I immediately expected everybody I talked to about this to smack the idea down and say, no, we can't do that. That's out of our lane. It's not what we do. You know, we don't want to be seen as being part of that. Let's not do it. But every time I brought it up to somebody, they said, oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. We should definitely do that. I slam White Claws at home all the time. And I kept bringing it up to more and more people, and I kept expecting somebody to say no and bring the whole thing back down to earth and say, let's not do it. And it never happened. And everybody said yes across the board, like inside the company, friends, the distributor, everybody. They're like, yeah, let's do it. So here we are. We did it. Yeah.
All right. So you did it. But then, like, I don't want to say that craft beer is stalled, but a little bit looks that way from the outside, you know, especially in Minneapolis. We had very little, you know, we had pioneers like Summit, you know, legacy breweries like Shell's, not too much in the middle. And then all of a sudden we had everything. We had Surly, we had a bazillion tap rooms, little towns have tap rooms. And now, you know, the rate of opening is definitely slowed. I see numbers that say the craft beer consumption, which was kind of rocketing forward, is kind of softer, still growing, but not rocket ship growing.
Right.
So is this, you know, a way to try to get some of that growth that, well, certainly your company was, you know, you've only known a world of growth.
Yeah, I mean, so we have been fortunate, Fair State, to grow rapidly in the almost 5 years we've been in existence. And yeah, I think that there's been a lot of gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands about craft beer growth in the industry for the last couple of years. But, you know, beer volumes overall are actually down, and craft beer was up between 4% and 5% last year. And a lot of that, like you said, is driven by retail growth. So it's getting more competitive out there. I don't think that's necessarily why we did this one thing. But yeah, I think that the arms race aesthetic that I just mentioned is definitely maybe a symptom of this, where if Brewery X makes a crazy beer with 10 ingredients and you want to sell more than them, maybe the best way to do it is put 11 ingredients in it. So, I mean, people are maybe freaking out a little bit, but I am not a Chicken Little. And I think that if we see more people move into this hard seltzer space, you know, there might be a cynical way of looking at it, like, well, this is just a cash grab. But there are other ways of looking at it, which I think, you know, for us are more productive. We're constrained by our license in the sense that we can only sell alcohol that we produce via fermentation. So if we were a spirits company, we would be able to do all sorts of distillations and infusions thereof and all sorts of different mixy things and whatnots, which is those are technical terms, right? Mixy things and whatnots. So I think when people get into the beer game, it's a spectrum, right? Like, I know for a fact that people that I worked for that ended up in a different segment of the alcohol industry initially wanted to be in the distilling game, but the numbers just didn't work and it's not where they wanted to be. So they ended up making beer, and you know, after a while you kind of feel like maybe your license has kind of trapped you into doing some things that maybe you didn't set out to do. So myself at home, I do like to drink lower ABV cocktails. So what I would love to have happen is if we could do one of these that goes all the way to like Aperol Spritz, and then that's where I'm at, and that's like what I'm drinking, I would be psyched. And so
as a mixer, so you want the people,
all
you know,
all in one.
Oh, all in one.
Because I mean, really, I'm giving away the good ideas on air. Not great, but Aperol is pretty low ABV, right? You mix.
Sure, it's like people that don't know, it's an Italian aperitivo, and it's right. It's like Campari or something.
It's
got the
bitter,
monks invented it probably, and then it eventually made its way into a commercial Italian culture.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful drink, and I love drinking it. If I could infuse all of those flavors into a can that we could sell ourselves, that would make me happy as a producer. And so moving out of the traditional beer lane allows us some avenues to try to do things that we would have wanted to do previously but didn't know how to do.
Interesting. So this may be the first step of a long journey to doing all kinds of things. All right. So I have tried it. You brought in kindly two hard waters for me to try today. You brought a lemongrass ginger and a hibiscus orange. And we will reveal what I thought about them when we come back after the break. We're going to take a little commercial break. Text me, 81807. I've got a text in about this whole beer olive situation called a Minnesota martini and a big capital no from a texter. At 71 years old, having fished from one side of the state to the other, I have never heard of the Minnesota martini. Sounds like fake news. There you go, Minnesota. I've somebody on my side because I have drank all over the state and never seen it. So it's up to you. You're like, oh, this is my everyday reality. I need to tell this lady, 81807, and we'll reveal that and more when we come back. Dare here. All right, you're not even believe this. 81807, I have so many responses to this whole olive controversy. Oh, I've got one. Sorry to tell you this. I am 59-year-old, born and raised Minnesotan. My wife and I owned a resort in the mid-2000s, now own a larger business. I heard of a Minnesota martini years ago and have it regularly. Everybody, so we got one for one. You want to fill up this text line? In the meantime, I'm going to go through these beer cocktail recipes. All right, so I got into this week. I was like, what is going on in the world of beer recipes? Beer, you know, you take a beer and they add stuff to it. These are all up at WCCORadio.com. All right, so if you want to make this into your summer of like putting stuff in your beer, maybe that's a groundswell. Maybe it's a community effort. But they're all up at WCCORadio.com. They look really good. First, the Shandies and Radlers. All right, so a Shandy, just beer and lemonade. Radler, beer plus something else. Started out as ginger ale. Very often it's soda, like a grapefruit soda. These are really easy. Got a bunch of those up there, including a from scratch grapefruit Radler, if you want to start squeezing a grapefruit. Beer teenies. If you're listening to this And you're just like, what are you people talking about? I got a whole article about putting olives in. You don't need to read it, but you could if you're intrigued. It's not that big an idea. All right. Micheladas. I love micheladas. So these are the, Mexican way of kind of, it's like a Bloody Mary, but a little lighter. The magazine Punch asked bartenders for their new favorites, and some of them are like kind of deluxe. I'm really grooving on them. You could make a fancy ice cube with basil leaves in it. Why not? You got all day, don't you? I got a recipe for a beer Americano. Nico, this is your dream. It's like an Americano cocktail, but with Campari and beer. But there you go. So that is up. Martha Stewart's beer punch. Yeah, you may say Martha's been spending too much time with Snoop Dogg, but I say maybe it's been good for her. And she's got a sweet and spicy beer punch. It's got ginger and fresh lime juice. How can you drink like Martha? This is how. And then next level, you think, whoa, these are kind of too easy. I'm an expert chef and bartender. I want more, more, more. Well, I've got that. WCCORadio.com. These are all up right now. You should go look at them. They're also on my Facebook page, Dara.Grumdahl. They have been tweeted by me, at Dear Dara. I have no other ways to get them to you. I cannot come over and give you the copy. You got to look on the computer. Or, I don't know. Yeah, look on the computer. All right, and so the last one, very, very fancy beer cocktails. So, you know, we covered the basics, but you're like, oh, I want to take a really dark milk stout, and then I want to add an Amaro, and I want to do all this stuff. Well, I have some recipes for you to read. You can either do them, or you can be so inspired. All right, Nico, do you think that this could be the summer of people putting stuff in their beer?
I mean, I think every summer is a summer of people putting stuff in their beer.
All right, we were talking off mic, and you said that I don't do enough drinking during the day in old man bars, and I take exception to that because I probably don't, and I live my life wrong. What do you see?
I mean, I've never
Tell me about this bag of salt, is actually what I should say.
Oh, okay, all right. So, first of all, I've never heard it called a Minnesota martini, and I don't know about the name, but putting olives and pickles in beer, I'm deeply familiar with that. And like the bag of salt thing, I think.
So you said that in your very own tap room.
I've seen it happen.
People come in with a bag of salt.
A little bag of salt.
And then they just,
you know, sprinkle a little bit in the beer just to give it a little extra pop, you know. You never do this? This has never occurred to you?
Never in my entire life.
So next time you go to Fair State, okay, the one thing you have to watch out for is that when you put salt in a beer with proper carbonation, it's going to foam up. So, you know, drink a little bit of it first. But
I am a salt snob. Like, it's another thing that certain, you know, salt to me is too iodized. Like, I don't want the iodine flavor in my beer.
But get this.
Okay.
I have a recommendation. So you go to I do this on a regular basis. You go to the Fair State Taproom. You get either a Pils or a Vienna Lager. You buy a pretzel from Aki's, which are behind the bar. There's excess salt on those pretzels, I swear. A little bit of that's going to fall off no matter what. Put that in the beer, and then you're good.
Just
you know, maybe like five
blown.
Or six little grains of it, you know?
Oh, all right. We've just got all kinds of texts coming in. We're going to take a break here. You should text me, 81807. You only have a few more minutes to weigh in. I'm going to tell you my true critical thoughts on this hard water situation. All of this for the last couple minutes of the show when we come back. We got a call over the break. 89 years old, and people have been putting olives in their beer since she was a baby. That's interesting to me because that means it's pre-prohibition. So it was hard in America to like figure out what was normal and what was just sort of a reaction to political events of the Depression era. Okay, so I have tried the hard water from Fair State Brewing. I like it. It doesn't taste as fake. I have a real aversion to those kind of chemical fake flavors. It just makes me I'm like, oh, it tastes like a window cleaner. It tastes like a candle. Like I really hate those things. I know a lot of people seem to not have an aversion to them because a lot of people seem to drink them, but I don't. So I tried the hibiscus one. I love the color. It's like a flamingo, bright, really lovely color. And then it tastes like hibiscus. And the lemon ginger, it's a little watery, but it tastes real. I kind of want to put ice cubes in it. And then I want to be in the sunshine. So, Nico, congratulations.
Oh,
those
thanks.
Are good.
Thank you. Yeah, and to your point, there's sort of two ways to do these things. And one is to filter the complete life out of them strip it down to completely clear, no color, and then add extracts back for flavor.
You mean if you're brewing it? Because I think the other way to do it is just take carbonated water and start squirting stuff
right.
into it.
Okay, yes. As brewer man, I'm stuck in brewery production mode. Yeah, that is, you can do that. Yeah, that's
maybe
cheaper. The most expedient way to do it.
Yeah, you take some ethanol, yeah. you take some...
That's true. But when we were talking about doing this, we're like, do we brand it separately? Do we brand it as a Fair State thing? We decided to keep it in-house and really own that we're doing it. And so we did it as close to our normal process as we can. We did filter it, but not, you know.
So if I came by, I would see you just loading hibiscus flowers into a big tank.
Yeah, we do it the same way we do Roselle. So it's a hibiscus tea that is then added back at the end. And the lemongrass is a hot side steep of whole lemongrass. And the zest is hand zested, believe it or not.
All right. So congratulations. I'm interested in this. I told Nico I'm going to come in and I'm going to help him make a big like antioxidant one. So we'll see this. Oh, my gosh. We hardly have time. All right. So we're talking to Nico about all of this. And he said that the best way to do this whole salt in the beer thing is, Nico, take it away. So you're drinking your beer.
Yeah, I would say in my experience with the pretzel salt, drink maybe 2/3 of it. By the end of it, maybe you're thinking about the next beer. You want something different. Throw a little bit of salt in there. Watch the fun, fizzy stuff happen. And then enjoy the extra savory angle. That's what I would do. And if you have a pickle spear, then you have a pickle spear to eat at the end of it. And that's the best.
All right. So I've got just this whole – I don't know if I have time to get to all these texts. There's so many good ones. So I've got a call for green pimento stuffed olives and a Voodoo Ranger IPA. That sounds good. Olives in their beers for years. Someone's been seeing that. Every time I go out, half the people, mostly women, want olives in their beer, not just the olives, but the juice also. That's like a dirty martini. I like it. It's a dirty.
It sounds great.
It's a dirty, dirty state. Okay, so I've got another one. I've put olives in my beer for years. The cool thing about the olives is they will float up and down in your glass. I don't know. What do you know the science of that?
Well, I think it's
Bill Nye in here.
It's about the release of carbon dioxide gas.
Oh.
So if it gets caught on an updraft from a nucleation site at the bottom, it might, you know, float up to the top.
Nucleation site.
Yeah, science. Yeah. Man. Science is everywhere.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Everybody who had a nucleation site on their bingo card to get into the conversation today. You won. All right. Got a text. My grandma would do this and says it was because back in the day, old beer may be flat, and this would help.
Yeah.
Ooh. I do kind of wonder about that. I've got someone else. I've been drinking olives in my beers for years and years. Just the last couple, I realized it had a name, Minnesota Martini. To me, it only seems to work in domestic-type beers. Grain Belt is the best. All right, I got another text. Olives in beer in South Dakota is known as a cowboy cocktail.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's better,
I like cowboy cocktail. It has a little swagger to it. All right. I've drank olives and beer for 30 years and not heard it called a Minnesota martini. I had a daughter who puts dill pickle spears and green olives in her beer. Tastes amazing. Well, then you get into, I do enjoy the pickle revolution of the last 20 years where people are all of a sudden making their own pickles and doing that. You put a fancy, like, naturally fermented lacto.
Yeah.
You could.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, go for it. Why not?
Oh,
maybe we'll get a pickle night at Fair State. I mean, I'm into this. The bar staff's going to hate me, but.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if you could have pickle night. It could be like a crafty thing and people could bring in their own pickles and share pickles. Because it's, you know, of all the things you can kind of, you know, that I trust pickles more than other.
Oh, trust in pickles.
Trust in pickles. All right. Our family has done olives in beer for years, and we love the olives salty and do a dirty beer by adding some of the olive juice. We mix up the pimento olives with jalapeno stuffed olives. Ugh. I love this jalapeno thing. And I've got a text from somebody that just puts straight up jalapeno slices in your beer. And you could do that, I guess, with pickled jalapenos.
You sure could.
Oh.
I'm less on board with the spicy beer thing, but that's just a personal preference.
I've had a few in my long life. The best one I ever had was actually a cider. A sociable cider works at a fresh jalapeno with some other, I want to say almost.
It was like a cucumber habanero.
Yeah, that one.
I argued against the creation of that product and I lost.
Oh.
Because I used to work there.
And
so
did you like
it? Jim wins, I lose on that one.
And did you like it?
I like spicy food and I like adult beverages and I don't like combining them because I like to drink a beer with spicy food. And so if it's all in one, you lose me.
What are you going to do when the generation that's currently all drinking those cinnamon fireball whiskeys ages out of that? And God bless you, children. Age out of that. It is not a delicious beverage.
I don't know. Who knows?
They're going to come. You're going to help them out. All right. This has been super fun. I've been talking to Nico Tonks of Fair State about his hard water brewing. And I've been talking to all y'all about olives in your beer. I think we need to have dedicate a special day of this. Maybe we'll take over the news hour at some point. So Nico, if people want to get this hard water, they want to try this brewed seltzer. What's the?
So it should be rolling out into pretty full distro across the metro. I've seen it popping up at stores over the last week or so, and it should be pretty consistently available unless we run out, which might happen. But we'll make more.
All right. Well, I'm going to come in. We're going to make a crazy one. We'll be looking for that. All right. So what is happening? Oh, I got one question. Oh, somebody has to bring all the wine to Easter. I like for Easter wine rosés. The new rosés are out. I tried a couple that are the 2018. If you go to Liquor Boy, I have a whole little display in the front. There's this German one, German Faults. So I have there's a picture of me and I look like Wonder Woman because I'm wonderful and the wine is all there and it's really good. All right. That's what I can do for Easter for you. We'll do more Easter things coming up next week. Maggie Batista wrote a book about her complicated emotional relationship with food and how she healed this relationship. So if you are in a self-helpy mood next week, this is the place to be. If you're not in a self-helpy mood, I'm going to try to make it fun. I don't go too kumbaya. You know, I was raised by hippies. I have a reaction against that. I'm the Alex P. Keaton of making things fun and not too serious. And so till then, you know, ask everybody about this beer teeny situation, cowboy cocktail, what do they call it? And I will see you here next week on Off the Menu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.